basketball tools. I got a basketball tools. Got a basketball tools.
And a basket here. This place goes crazy.
And one.
The game comes down to fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness. Sorrentine hit that one from the parking lot.
Welcome to Storm the Court Podcast, Episode 7. Barstool Reeks here with a special guest, former Providence big man, Carson DeRosiers. Carson, how you doing today?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Thanks for hopping on. For those who don't know, Carson is playing professionally over in Finland right now. What's the team name you're playing for over there, Carson?
Kataja Basket.
Kataja Basket. Now, are you guys in the middle of the season?
Not quite, just the beginning. We've had 9 league games thus far and 4 FIBA Europe Cup games.
Okay, so you guys are part of the FIBA Europe.
Yep.
So it's similar schedule wise at least to the NBA in terms of start of the season.
Yeah. We're gonna go all the way up until playoffs are in May. So a month before the NBA playoffs, I guess. And then the FIBA Europe tournament, you know, whenever we kind of lose, right now we're first in our pool, but whenever we lose, we'll be done that.
Now, how many teams are in the FIBA Europe to start?
FIBA Europe Cup is kind of set up like the NCAA tournament. I think there's 15 or 16 pools of 4 teams, you know, all over Europe. I think there's a couple Russian teams in there. And first round's pool play. You play the other 3 teams twice, home and away. And then the second round's pool play, and then it's single elimination. So we're just trying to get out of the first round, but we're doing a good job thus far.
Now, is it just the leader of the pool advances, or is it top 2?
Top 2.
All right. So, yeah, you're over there in Finland. Of course, played for Providence 2 seasons prior to that. Started your career at Wake Forest. Obviously, a lot of stoolies up in the Northeast region. They're probably most familiar with you with Providence. So for them, why don't you give them a little insight into what it was like to be a Friar for a couple of years?
Yeah, funny story. I wanted to commit to them coming out of high school. You know, got recruited by Tim Welch and Keno Davis, but to be honest, there was just kind of something lacking with the coach and with the program in general. And then you know, following college basketball, they hired Coach Cooley out of Fairfield. And when I made the decision to transfer from Wake, my AAU coach kind of told me to, you know, give him a chance, give him a call, and I did. And after that first phone call, I really knew I was going to transfer to Providence.
So, yeah, you mentioned the transfer process. What was that like? Because, you know, you hear a lot of horror stories with NCAA, whether it's eligibility or denying transfers or anything along that. So, obviously, everyone kind of has their own story. What was your story like in the transfer process?
It was tough. It was definitely one of the hardest things I've had to do, you know, leaving, you know, your friends, your teammates, you know, guys. I was there for 2 years plus 2 summer schools, you know, guys you hang out with 24/7. So it was tough to leave the team. You know, leaving there was definitely interesting. You know, you got to kind of tell the coach, you know, you got to leave, and then the process starts. They tell you, okay, I couldn't go to any ACC school. I couldn't go to any school that was on contract with Wake that we'd be playing for the next year or two. I think it was for the next year. So that added up to about 15, 16 schools, maybe even more. For that. And then there were a couple random schools on there. I think it was, you know, overall it was total of 25 to 30 schools I couldn't go to, which, you know, kind of frustrating. And then at that point, it's just recruiting all over again. You know, your name gets out there and you start talking to the coaches that talked to you, 2.5, 3 years ago, getting recruited out of high school.
So who makes the first call to you when, you know, the name Carson DeRosiers gets, you know, it's coming out that you're transferring. Who makes the first call? Is it the head coach? Is it assistant coaches? Is it a combination? Or does it come from yourself where you kind of have to recruit the colleges? Like, hey, guys, I'm available. you know, I want to come play for XYZ.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I think no new schools. When I was getting recruited out, no new schools from high school kind of wanted my services from transferring, but coaches that recruited me while I was in high school had heard, so they contacted me. They came out to Wake, you know, we had lunch together, or I went on a visit. They tried to get me on a visit, and then, like I said, you know, I ended up taking the official. I took an official to Vanderbilt as well.
Okay.
But then I ended up choosing Providence fairly quickly, within a couple weeks.
So what was different with, you know, you said you wanted to go to Providence out of high school. Obviously, they had Keno Davis at the head coach at the time. Like you mentioned, Ed Cooley gets hired. Was it the different style of play? What was it that triggered, hey, I want to go play for Ed Cooley at Providence, not just the Friar name?
It was, you know, everybody's excited. Since I think this is fourth or fifth year, and you know, the city of Providence, when there's a Providence game, the whole city, you know, goes to the bars to watch, goes to the dunk to watch the game. It's really, you know, in the state of Rhode Island, that's Providence basketball, which is one of the biggest selling points for the program. And I knew that coming out of high school, and just with the hiring of Coach Cooley going home, because he grew up in Providence, was kind of the last straw, kind of the last domino to fall for me.
So now, were you played 1 year in what was the old Big East, correct? Or did you have...
That was transfer year.
That was
so
transfer
year. I was sitting on the bench, didn't get to play.
So what was the difference, you know, obviously Wake Forest being in the ACC, kind of the, you know, if you ask most people, name a basketball conference, I think most people say the ACC, you know, with obviously the names of Carolina, Duke, Virginia of late. And then you go to this kind of new but old conference in the Big East, where it is the smaller private schools, basketball-oriented. What was the difference, Justin, if any, in the two conferences and playing in both of them?
Yeah, you know, you kind of hear that all the conferences have their different styles of play. You know, the old Big East was very, very physical. The AC was a little more finesse, a little more skilled. But that's a question that's been asked, and I've answered before, and my answer is always, it really just depends on the players that get recruited there. You know, it could change every 2-3 years. But yeah, you know, growing up watching the Big East, being from New Hampshire, always on TV, regionally, it was always very, very physical. But you know, once you start playing college basketball, you really don't notice the little differences. Everybody's talented, and it's college basketball. It's like I said, everybody's talented, and you don't really notice too much as a player. Maybe watching, and the media like to kind of give differences to the conferences.
Right, right. Okay, so we're going to go rapid fire here based on questions I received via Twitter and email. So it's kind of first thing on your mind, best player you played against?
Ooh, Doug McDermott.
Doug McDermott. That'll make the Chicago people happy, I'm sure.
Who actually scored his 3,000th in my eye.
In your eye, on a three?
Oh, okay, yeah, you know, yep.
Yeah, I was saying, it had to be on like a flare screen into a three.
Yep, I switched on him, he kind of did his little thing, threw it up there, and the bench after the game told me, it was on their senior night, we had no shot of winning. They probably beat us, I think they beat us by 20, he had 45 that night.
Oh.
And he threw it up, and the guys on the bench after the game told him he turned around before it even went in.
Oh, so a little Steph Curry action to him.
Yep.
Least favorite player to play against, whether it's you just couldn't stand them or they just got the better view each time.
I hate playing against guys like last year. You know, Josh Smith from Georgetown and what's his name from Xavier, Matt Stainbrick. You know, the guys that are 6'9", 6'10", and you know that you look at them and you think that they should be playing football, not basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those guys, you know, it's so much effort just to get around and play post defense.
Smith was built like a brick house, and he lost what, like 40 pounds or something like that too, coming out of high school.
Supposedly.
Yeah, I live in Cincinnati, so I've seen Stainbrook out at a lot of places, and I mean, he's just a behemoth of a guy, as obviously most Division I athletes are. But you look at him, kind of like you said, you're like, okay, you don't look like you should be able to get up and down the basketball court, but here you are starting Division I.
Exactly, and you know he has a nice little game. He's over here somewhere too, I think, over in Europe.
Yeah, I think he's over in Germany, last I heard, or somewhere in that area.
Yeah, that's a good league.
Is it? Okay, so favorite arena to play in, not the Dunk or Lawrence Joel?
I think I get asked the loudest. To be completely honest, I wasn't as impressed. I was a Duke fan growing up, and I wasn't as impressed going to Cameron as I thought I'd be for whatever reason. But I think the loudest one of the most impressive places was I think it's called the Comcast Center at Maryland.
Yeah, they just switched, I think, to the Xfinity Center.
Oh, Xfinity Center.
Yeah, it was Comcast Center. That's not surprising. I remember going to Cole Fieldhouse when I was younger, and it's a whole new ballgame there, especially now that they're actually somewhat decent again and not sucking like they did for a couple years there.
Yeah, they have high expectations this year.
So not impressed with Cameron. You might be the first person that I've heard say that.
I think it was just maybe the size of it. I think growing up, you know, you kind of just envision it being huge. It was loud. I'll tell you that. But
right.
I just wasn't. I gotta say, Madison Square Garden too. You know, the Big East tournament. Everybody want to keep playing and playing and playing. You know, as many days continuously as possible. So that was a cool experience too.
Now is it true? You know, you always hear players talk about there's just a different feel when you step out onto the Garden. Is that true, or is it just kind of what guys say, just a bullshit back and forth?
Maybe a little bit of that, but it's definitely cool. Being on the big stage, Big East tournament, you know, the lights are dimmed in the seats, the court's the only thing lit up, which makes it seem like kind of you're the focus of everything.
So now you guys made a nice run, 2 years ago in the Big East when you guys won it all.
Yeah, 2014.
And then last year you guys lost to Villanova in the semis, correct? In an overtime or double overtime?
Almost. We lost on a controversial foul call on one of our guys on Archer Diacono with about maybe 3 seconds left.
So now how tough is it to play Villanova when they go small? Because they're one of the traditional, or I should say non-traditional, like they go three-guard lineups, sometimes four-guard lineups. As a big guy, does it piss you off when you see a lot of little guys running around out there? Or do you kind of get big eyes knowing that you can kind of counteract a three for a nice little post move on the
Yeah, side? Yeah. I mean, it sucks going in because you got to think of matchups. You know, the coaches are always thinking, looking at me like, oh, shit, Carson's too slow. he's going to, you know, we got to have to play our 6'8", four-man to guard their 6'7", big man. So, I mean, it's really all about matchups. I think a few times last year we would – matching up with them, you know, when their big man went out, I would go out and just kind of playing it like that, like a little chess match.
Okay. Now, you mentioned your favorite places to play. What's your least favorite place to play? Whether it was just they had, you know, the locker room sucked, the crowd sucked, or they just gave you the most. What's your least favorite arena?
I gotta say, I mean, That's a tough one. Least favorite. I'm trying to think of keeping it last year. I mean, we played at St. John's Little Gym, Karnaseca Hall or whatever it's called.
Yeah, one on campus.
You know, kind of getting 2 years ago we played there, kind of getting no respect. You know, they play their non-conference games there.
Right.
But you know, we won it that year. And then, so, you know, the next year we were at, they had us go to the Garden, which was nice.
All right, so this came from a guy who's currently at Providence. He wants to know, what's your favorite Providence College bar during your time there?
Ooh, there's a couple of them. It depends on the night, like what you want to get into. Thursday night was Whiskey Republic, or the Piano Bar. You know, you got half price drinks at Piano Bar, which was nice. Meant a long Friday, and then, you know, Hanley's gets weird. Hanley's Ale House downtown, which is the spot. You know, you want to dance a little bit, you want to get weird, you're gonna go to Hanley's.
So now that's one thing I think a lot of people either don't understand or don't realize is you know, that you, especially from a Division I basketball player, you think, okay, they can do whatever they want, no matter what, they get in wherever they want. You know, they're just there to play basketball. On the flip side, you have coaches checking in on you, everything like that. You know, what was it like, obviously, when you were able to go out? You know, did you have coaches checking, like, constantly checking in on you? I guess kind of what's it like as a Division I player to have to kind of deal with the aspects of going out but still being a college kid at the same life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to always be aware that no matter where you go, people are going to recognize you, especially like I was saying, Providence. It's Providence basketball. Everybody knows who you are.
Kind of hard to hide at 6'10", too, I would imagine.
And so you know, we show up somewhere the next day at practice, one of our assistants or our director of basketball operations, you know, how was Whiskey's last night, something like that. You know, and even if we saw nobody that we knew, it's gonna get back to the coach or the program. So you just always got to be mindful of that, and don't do anything stupid.
So now, you know, you kind of mentioned that one of the guys you played with, Chris Dunn, preseason yep. National Player of the Year, I think by almost everybody. Give your scouting report. How do you stop Chris Dunn? What's it like playing with a guy who is that good? He is a, you know, kind of the combo point guard where he can score but also put out 10 assists, no problem.
Yeah, he's nasty. You know, he can beat you in so many ways. He can go on streaks, score 8-10 points in a row. He can drop dimes, give 3-4 in a row. He's defensively, he's a menace. Used to hate being on the opposite team of him during practice, because if I'm in the post, I take a dribble, he steals it, even though I thought he was on the other side of the court. My scouting report of him is, you know, things that you just read about, which and I got to give him credit. You know, he's very self-aware. He knows what he has to work on. I think that's one of the reasons he came back to school. You know,
were you
potential.
He came back?
I was telling people 60-40 he was going to come back.
Okay. Because obviously that was big news from not only just Providence, but out, you know, the college basketball world, not being around the guy as much as obviously you were. Is wow, how mm-hmm. could how can you pass up on the NBA? Obviously, it makes sense when, like you said, he realized obviously there's a couple things he wanted to work on to enhance it. So
yeah, huge. It's huge for college basketball that, you know, you get to watch him one more year for the Big East, just, you know, star power. And he wanted to come back. You know, he's a great kid. He wanted to he really wanted to get his degree. He has some younger sisters that he wants to be a great role model for. And he really wanted to work on his game. He works out with God Sham God, who's one of our assistants at Providence.
The greatest name in college basketball history.
Yeah, God Sham God. He drives around Providence. His license plate's God.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And
that's,
it's so
I mean, it has to be, though, right? I mean, what else can – if you have that, you have to do that.
Yeah, which is funny. I've seen a long time ago, maybe a year or two ago, Big Cat was tweeting – or was retweeting, you know, license plates that people would send in, and God in Rhode Island was one of them.
So you're just sitting there going, all right, what's he doing? Where's he at now?
And I'm sure everybody was thinking, oh, this dickhead just has God, God on his license plate, and really it's God Sham God.
Yeah, right, who has just his name. So I got to ask, I went to Kentucky. You guys played at Rupp last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always a little – I always tell people when they ask me what's it like going to Rupp Arena to watch a game. And I'm usually – I talk it down a little bit because it's such an older crowd, especially in the bottom half. It's huge, but it's just not what – I just say it's not what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think of that as a player when you were there? Were you, you know, impressed by it, not impressed by it? What were your thoughts on Rupp?
We always have shoot around the day before, and I would say Rupp was one of the most in of all the arenas I've played in. It was one of, was definitely top one or two that I've actually been in awe of, just at the sheer size of it.
Right.
I don't know if I was expecting, you know, the upper deck to kind of go as far as it did.
It's funny, you're the second person. I was down there with NJIT on Saturday, and they mm-hmm. were saying the same thing, going, you know, we looked out and we're like, what? Okay, it's big, and then you see when everyone leaves, it just looks like the way they set up that upper deck where it's steep, it just mm-hmm. looks like it keeps going up and up. And, yeah, so it's ironic. You're the second person that said the same exact thing to me this week.
Yeah, it's massive. It's I would say I did the same thing walking into Rupp Arena, not Rupp Arena, UNC's place.
Now, what do you think of Dean Dome? I got to say, I thought it was awful when I went.
It's, and I don't know if you're gonna agree with this. Just, I mean, and I haven't been there in what, 4 years probably.
Yeah, it's been about 8 for me.
Yeah, I would compare it just in the sheer size of it to UK, but
yeah, absolutely. I think I was just not impressed with the crowd. It was similar to Rupp, where it was just the old crowd. It just seemed quiet the entire time.
You mentioned the old crowd. I would say that's more UNC. I'll tell you what, I did not notice the quote unquote old crowd at UK. A whole bunch of your typical Kentucky just. I'm not gonna say hillbillies, but
that's, you know, exactly
people,
what they
people
are,
wearing though. The most ridiculous outfits you've ever seen, and it was wild in there.
Right, the blue and white overalls that are, you know, 50 years old, and I'm sure have been passed down through the family.
Yeah, grown men wearing cut off shirts, yep, with jeans, and yep, it was wild.
So now, with you being in Finland, you're 7 hours ahead, you said. Mm-hmm. Are you able to catch up a lot with, you know, are you still able to watch a lot of college basketball, or is it kind of just kind of read what's happened? What's your...
Yeah, it's a lot of reading, a lot of ESPN, watching the highlights whenever I can. Providence has a good Twitter account to follow, Friar TV, that puts the games on. And you know, earlier last week I was watching some of the mid-major conferences. They have the games. I still know some guys playing, so they had the games online, so I was watching those.
So it's your... where you're playing, is there anybody that people would be familiar with, either on your team or in your league, that that's been in college basketball recently?
Let's see. We got Thomas Gibson from Kansas State.
Oh yeah, yep.
His first year. David Kravish from Cal.
I remember him. Big. He's like 6'10" too, isn't he?
Yep. So there's I mean, big men wise, there's some good matchups. I'm trying to think of some other guys that listeners might know. Nothing else coming to mind. It's a lot of a lot of talented players. And you know, we get four exports four imports per team, and then the rest of the guys are Finnish.
Right.
It's a pretty good league, I guess. You know, here talking to my Finnish teammates, it's one of the most talented seasons they've had in quite a few years.
So what's your setup over there? Do they put you, are you in an apartment by yourself? Do they put you with a teammate?
Yeah. This spot, a little bit different than kind of other offers I had over in Europe. I'm currently with two of the Americans, living with two of the Americans in an apartment, and then the other Americans living by himself. Which is different just because, you know, other offers were you get your own apartment, you get your own car. But the location here, you know, you don't need your own car. It's a smaller city. They actually gave us bikes, which is pretty funny, but it's kind of cool to ride around in the bikes.
Is there a city you could compare it to in the U.S.?
No. It's you know, no skyscrapers. It's all, probably the tallest building is, I don't know, 7-8 stories.
Oh wow!
But it's a cool little city, cool spot, and I mean, so far it's been a good experience. It's been fun.
All right, so we'll wrap it up with a gun to your head question. You can't say Providence because that'll just be biased. Who wins it all this year?
Who wins it all? You want me to say Kentucky? I haven't watched them at all. How would I give? I don't know if I can give that answer. Let's see. I mean, I'm not on the Duke bandwagon. I don't see that happening again. They lost
to go back to back.
Hmm?
So hard to go back to back these days.
Yeah. Especially losing the guys they did.
Right.
You know, Kentucky. Like I said, I haven't watched them. I don't know. It's too early to tell. I was a big Wisconsin guy last year, but that ship has sailed now that they're struggling, and they just had that home loss the other day.
Yeah, that, yeah, I have them on right now. They're down 5 to Georgetown at the Garden, like you mentioned. So so there you go. So, again, where can people follow you at on Twitter?
At CarsonD33.
So there you go, guys. Follow Carson at CarsonD33. You can follow me at Barstool Reegs. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC. We'll tweet out the iTunes link for this, as well as the SoundCloud link, and if you have Androids on there. Any parting words for Barstool, Carson?
Viva la Stool. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Get ready, we about to face off. Sports Center, the highlights, my name on. This season, who ride with me, collide with me. The fire boys and girls from out the Pride City. The fresh, the sauce, the juniors, the seniors. So ahead, we the future, believe us. So genius, out of this world, we the heroes. Who gon' lead us to the promised land? Keno, bottom line, we the friars. You a fraud, fans applaud. Off of the backboard, we score. The four-court pressure is the best you ever seen. We got a lot, from the dunk to MSG. Talk of the town, we the topic, the gossip. Rank number one, so throw it up like vomit. Break any zone, 3-2 to the 2-3. Absolutely, this ain't a game, it's a movie. Motion picture, see that we all shine. How you make the city splash from the 3-point line? We got heart, will, strength, desire. We the truth, no liars, go Friars.